97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Glad you're back with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show. And we are, we got a lot to cover this morning. We're trying to keep an ear to the ground on what's going on in Washington, D.C., not only with the plane crash, the nomination hearings that will get underway here shortly, probably within the hour for Cash Patel and for Tulsi Gabbard. And they're doing a news conference out in Wichita right now. They had one earlier for the NTSB. We were able to listen into to that a little bit for the, not the NTSB, but the transportation secretary and the officials in Washington, D.C., where they confirmed that it is a recovery operation now. They believe the death toll will be 67 souls because there were 60 people on the plane, four crew members for 64, and then three people on the military helicopter. The cause of the crash, unknown. And the NTSB will have a briefing later today at some point. We have not been given a time on that, but if and when it happens, we will we'll cover that for you right now. This is the director of airports out in the city of Wichita. Let's see what he's saying, Carl.
With our team of volunteers, along with other airline staff and representatives, the airport remains open. There is air traffic continuing. Right now, we do have fog, so I would ask everybody to please
drive. So they're talking about what's going on in Wichita. Reagan National has been shut down. It's expected to reopen at about 10 o'clock Central Time today. They've had to redirect flights to other airports there in the D.C. area. And my guess is they'll start to get back to some normalcy with their flights later today. It's been a long time since they've had a tragedy like this. I think they said it was 2000.
I heard 2009, I thought.
Was the last time when they had that crash in Buffalo. So we do have one of the safest systems in the world when it comes to airline safety. There's no doubt about
they
that.
They say flying is safer than driving, and I absolutely get that. But, man, when I'm on a plane, I'm not super anxious when I fly. But let's be real. The thought can go through your head, especially when you have a little bit of turbulence. That obviously wasn't the case in this. It directly crashed with a helicopter, but I've had some really scary flights where, I mean, drinks were flying up to the air and everyone's screaming on the plane, and it shakes you when you see something like this, especially if you have a flight later on today. I imagine people are very nervous for their loved ones to fly, even though this is a fluke of a thing. Fluke. It's almost like a freak accident. How can you not at least be a little bit nervous, though, to think that your loved one's about to get on a plane?
I get that. It's probably the day after something like this is probably the safest day ever for flying, because whatever the hole was in the system that allowed this to happen yesterday, they won't allow it to happen again. So we'll, you know, as sad as it is, it's probably the safest day you could pick if indeed you are flying today, for sure. I apologize for the voice. Some kind of frog has taken over my throat this morning, and I'm trying to work my way through that. I apologize. Let's hope it's temporary. Maybe it's the rain. Maybe it's the mold that's been brought by all the rain we've gotten overnight and will continue to get throughout the day. We'll keep our fingers crossed for that. Coming up, we'll get to Shannon Bream in just a few minutes. But first, I want to get to our top stories this morning.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
So we are going to wait for all the information to come in from this vantage point. But to back up what the president said, what I've seen so far, do I think this was preventable? Absolutely.
Yeah. Sean Duffy, the transportation secretary, the guy got sworn in yesterday. And now he's on the scene there in D.C. Commenting on this, overseeing the reaction to it from the FAA and the NTSB. And he's like, both aircraft were in airspace they normally occupy. The question is why at the exact same time, and we will get to the bottom of that.
These are individuals who say they support the police, but then they say it's not about the police, but then they say all the good work that police have done to get us where we talked about the crime statistics and getting the city safer.
Yeah, that was the chief there of St. Louis, Chief Tracy, talking about the fact that anybody that doesn't support local police control doesn't really support police. I disagree with him on that, but that's his line this morning.
The snow and ice from the winter storm weeks ago continues to melt. One South City neighborhood is coming together trying to prepare for future weather events like this.
Yeah. And what do you do about that? Well, in some neighborhoods, they've decided, why don't we just tax ourselves a little more and we'll take care of it?
You probably read about Columbia 2 days ago. They said, no, we're not taking them. They said, we're going to take them. You're going to take them. You're going to like it, too. You're going to take them.
Yeah, President Trump yesterday, as he was signing that Lake and Riley Act at the White House, I saw Congressman Bob Onder tweeting out from he attended that event at the White House yesterday, where he got to meet Kristi Noem and a few other people who happened to be there. And he's talking about the his victory over the president of Colombia, who at first rejected his own citizens being brought back to him, and then he not only complied but said he'd send his own plane to get them. I thought that was fantastic. And he's right to brag about it, because he goes, we're going to be doing more of it, and you're going to like that too, because we're not putting up with this stuff anymore. And for the worst of the worst, so here's your concern. If you're the president and you're worried about Homeland Security, many of these people are repeat offenders when it comes to breaking into the United States. When even with increased security along the border, it will still be possible for people to sneak across, because if you've never been there, and I have, I was down there with Matt Blunt when he sent Missouri National Guard troops down there years ago. You're literally looking across a field with tumbleweeds, and on the other side there's a road maybe a couple of acres away, and that's Mexico. I mean, there's no line, there's no fence, there's nothing that says welcome to America or welcome to Mexico. It's just an open field. And this was down in the Yuma sector in Arizona. So there, people will still be able to break in. So your concern is, let's say we take somebody who's been convicted of a crime in the United States and we take them back to Guatemala and drop them off. What's to keep them from trying to come back? So President Trump has come up with a different idea. Carl, go to cut two, please.
Today I'm also signing an executive order to instruct the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security to begin preparing the 30,000-person migrant facility at Guantanamo Bay. Most people don't even know about it. We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them, because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo. This will double our capacity immediately, right? And that's a tough place to get out of.
What a difference a week and a half makes, Kim St. Ange.
It's interesting to see how this is all playing out, because Yahoo, by the way, I know we have to go to break, but Yahoo tried to say that breaking into the United States
is not a crime.
It's a civil offense. And I'm looking now, they updated the article at 1 o'clock this morning. Young writer, I looked up her picture. Now they corrected it and said it is a crime to re-enter the U.S. without permission after being deported. But they're saying being undocumented in the U.S. is considered a civil offense.
Well, if they're right, then we got some work to do. We need to fix that. And we have control of both houses of Congress and the White House. So let's add that to the reconciliation bill and up that to a felony. How about that? I think that would be fantastic. Coming up, we'll get to Shannon Bream, her thoughts on this plane crash, obviously, and the nomination hearings for Kash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard.
The United States has worse health than any other developed nation. Yet we spend more on health care, at least double, and in some cases triple, as other countries. Last year, we spent $4.8 trillion, not counting the indirect costs of missed work. That's almost a fifth of GDP. It's tantamount to a 20% tax on the entire economy. No wonder America has trouble competing with countries that pay a third of what we do for health and have better outcomes and a healthier workforce.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Vox News Sunday. All right, great to have Shannon back with us. Obviously, that was the big story yesterday, the RFK nomination hearings. But, of course, our attention has shifted this morning to this horrible plane crash there in D.C. Shannon, how are you this morning?
I'm good. It's been a long night for folks around here with questions and rescuers and people who are the brave ones who run to these things, just praying for their safety in the midst of this.
Absolutely. I mean, I know obviously you're not down there on the riverbank covering this, but I did watch Sean Duffy's part of the news conference earlier where he pointed out that both of these aircraft were normally operating in airspace that they're there every day. There are constantly helicopters up and down the river. There are constantly planes landing. This is out of the ordinary that these two aircraft struck each other. That seems to be the story.
Yeah, and goodness, so many questions people will have as we go through the months, maybe years of figuring this out. But you're right. I mean, the Potomac runs all along the D.C. region, and we do see helicopters all the time. Military, Coast Guard, news helicopters, police helicopters, and, of course, that flight path to Reagan. You know, it's not my favorite landing. I do it probably every week, but you're over water. You're by highways and buildings and all of those kinds of things. It's a very tight landing space. But these aircraft do operate there together, as you said, all the time. And as, you know, our new Secretary of Transportation said, so there have got to be answers about, you know, how in the world these two paths could have crossed each other. And for people who've watched the video that looks like it's, you feel like you can see what's happening from the Kennedy Center and one of their cameras there. It's just inexplicable about how these two, the helicopters seem to be going right into the path of the airplane, and that landing area is just very tight and somewhat dangerous.
Well, I'm sure the NTSB will be given more details on this later today. Right now, all they basically confirmed is that it's a recovery effort, and I'm sure that's where the focus will be today, trying to comfort and find out more about these victims.
Yeah, sure. And you know, when I was a local reporter here at Channel 4, NBC 4 station here years ago in 2005, I covered a crash into the Potomac. It was a medical helicopter, and the only person who survived was a nurse, a flight nurse, and I talked with him last night because, you know, all those things keep, you know, come flooding back. I mean, it was very similar in that it was icy cold. No one thought there could possibly be a survivor, and there he was. He's a bit of a miracle, but it just reminded me how dangerous that area is, and that there are people who risk their lives every day on missions like medical missions or military drills or whatever it is, and it's just all a very tight space here in D.C.
I just wonder if there was something going on specifically with the helicopter, because from what I've heard, it sounds like air traffic control was trying to relay messages to them saying, hey, heads up, you have a plane coming right at you, and they weren't responding to those warnings.
Yeah, you do wonder whether the pilot was incapacitated or something had gone wrong, because you're right. I mean, we so quickly are able to get the communications, and clearly something was not lining up.
You know, the seriousness, the gravity of it kind of makes everything else up there seem less important, but obviously all eyes were focused yesterday on RFK, and maybe, you know, the interaction with Democrat senators who wanted to complain about words printed on T-shirts. And how did you think RFK did yesterday?
Well, you know what I thought was interesting is he obviously knew a lot of the lines of attack that would come. I mean, he's got statements out there that he's had to own or explain for a long time. So I think he was prepared in that sense. But what I was struck by is that so many of the questions that he got that were difficult and that do need good answers, he wasn't allowed to answer, that members would continue to speak over him. And, you know, he's got the projection issue with his voice, and for him to get going and be able to kind of speak over them, it was just really tricky. And I thought, you know, I want to hear the answers to these questions as an American. I want to know, is he trying to justify this or not, or what's his explanation for that quote? But I felt many times that these are questions that are very difficult, some of these medical questions, and they're like, yes or no. Many of them need nuance, and I would like to hear the nuance of his answers, but it struck me that some of the most difficult questions and pressing issues, he wasn't ever allowed to actually answer. So
yeah.
I don't know where he stands on some of these things.
It tends to be the game they play with these hearings, for sure. And today you've got, what, Patel and Tulsi Gabbard?
Yeah, and we viewed those as two of the really toughest ones for this administration for many reasons. They've got detractors on both sides of the aisle, skeptics on both sides of the aisle, but they both have a ton of support for those who believe they're the right people for the job. So, goodness, it's going to be difficult going back and forth between these two, because I have a feeling that you could, you know, pop your popcorn and enjoy either one, but to have two on the same day is going to be really busy here in D.C.
Boy, that's the truth. I mean, obviously, a tragedy like this plane crash shifts your news coverage for Fox News Sunday, but do you have anything planned right now?
We do. We have Senator Fetterman with us on Sunday, and we'll announce our GOP guest shortly. And that may be changing because of what happened last night. But, you know, Senator Fetterman is an interesting guy. I mean, he showed up at the Lake and Riley signing yesterday. He was the only Democrat that voted with Republicans who were trying to do a measure to basically condemn the ICC for going after Netanyahu as a war criminal. He's a really outspoken guy, doesn't care about party lines, and I think he'll be an interesting guest on Sunday.
I'd say he went on The View and fought back with him a little bit, too.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so, yeah, we look forward to having him Sunday.
Very good. Shannon, thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
have a great
take
day.
Care. You bet. Shannon Bream there, Fox News Sunday, which, of course, we air right here on 97.1 on Sunday afternoons. 4 o'clock, I believe, is when you can tune in and hear that for sure. All right, coming up, our friend Griff Jenkins is going to be on that riverbank in D.C. a little later today reporting for Fox News on the latest on this crash investigation. We will check in with him right after the break.
So we are going to wait for all the information to come in from this vantage point, but to back up what the president said, what I've seen so far, do I think this was preventable? Absolutely.
Yeah. In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, my buddy Griff with us this morning. I appreciate you giving me some time because I know it must be crazy up there in D.C. right now.
Yeah, it is, Mark. You know, I'd come home last night, made dinner, and was working on my pitch, which we learned late yesterday from the president, and I was channeling with some officials in the administration, to include the DHS secretary, about this move to put migrants in Gitmo, and I tweeted out about how it's quite a solutions-based, smart move because many of the countries that will be sent there are recalcitrant countries that don't take their people back. And as I'm working on that, of course, we got the news of this crash, and I've uncovered, you know, lots of stories like this that I've been on with you guys. I immediately brought up the D.C. scanner in about, 30 minutes into falling. And the crash happened around 9 o'clock. I'll be on it tonight. I'll start this afternoon and go through midnight covering it to see how close I can get. I'm about to spend the morning trying to figure out what vantage point the press can get to. But about 30 minutes after it crashed, even on the scanner, the D.C. police scanner, you could hear people saying that they were questioning that there were any survivors. And it was at that moment that I knew we're into a very tragic and serious situation. And, you know, here we go trying to figure out, I mean, as we all probably just heard or watched from the, you know, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy, who I know well, doing basically on day one having to deal with this, you know, gave us what he knows, which is that this seems absolutely, in his words, preventable. Regional American Jet 342 was on a track that it was clear to land, and that helicopter was on a training mission that it apparently, according to officials, that this was an experienced crew, had made many times. How does this happen? So really, this is going to be a day of answering a lot of questions, particularly if this could have been prevented.
I think I saw on Fox News not too long ago, they had started releasing some of the verbatim between air traffic control trying to get in touch with the pilot from the Black Hawk helicopter. And that's what's so alarming to me is there was no response. They were trying to warn him, you have a plane coming right at you. So that's what makes me wonder, well, you have to guess, was it intentional, which I don't think it was, but you can't, I guess, rule that out just yet. Was there a medical episode? Was there a technical issue where for some reason they couldn't hear that? There's just so many questions right now.
Well, and you raise good questions, though, Kim, because is that audio where they're asking the Black Hawk crew, do you see the CRJ? That's what it was, this regional jet. And there's no answer. And then obviously you hear the latter part where the air traffic control realizes that something bad has happened. So they've got to hold everybody at that point. And so that moment is going to be, I think, the key focus that hopefully later today Sean Duffy and others will tell us, help us piece those, put that piece together.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, if it was as simple as a human error in an air traffic control that knew that these, you know, two, I mean, the fascinating thing, and you guys have been here to D.C., and you know well, Mark, you know, at any given time, you could be riding your bike down the National Mall, and you're going to have commercial jets, military helicopters, the D.C. Park Police, Coast Guard, all sorts of flight things flying over you that are in a controlled airspace. The airspace over Washington, D.C., because D.C. is so small, the proximity of the National Mall, Lincoln, the White House, the airport, it is the most, one of the most controlled airspaces on the planet. And so to have a mistake like this that put those two on a collision path and not realize it in the most controlled airspace is really quite unthinkable. And that's why your question is so important, Kim.
I listened to John Scott get pulled into your coverage earlier this morning, and he referred to something with the helicopter I thought was interesting. Let me play that for a second here.
Air traffic control at Reagan National is talking to the helicopter crew. It had a call sign of PAT-25. Now, PAT stands for Priority Air Transport. Fort Belvoir there, where this helicopter was apparently based or flying out of, handles the, as I said in an earlier report, handles the Secretary of Defense flights, handles the Secretary of the Army flights on choppers. So it was a, you know, an Army PAT-25 was the call sign. And the tower is asking him if he sees the regional jet.
Yeah, that, I mean, they had to wonder at first if there were any VIPs on that helicopter, right, Griff? Because that's what it was designated as.
They sure did. And in the internal reporting, so Fox has, you know, our internal reporting, and then, of course, that's largely an email-based system.
Yeah.
And in full disclosure, as many of you know, Pete Hegseth is a close friend of mine. Happened to become the Secretary of Defense, and I've spent a lot of time, more than a quarter of a century around the military, having come to Fox in the year 2000 with Ollie North. As soon as I saw PAT-25, the call signs, I know the call signs. I've spent a lot of time in military helicopters, to include the invasion of Iraq. I immediately just texted Pete directly to his personal cell and said, "Are you okay?" And he confirmed yes, and then I then added to my reporting that on background I can confirm that the Secretary of Defense was not among them, but he's probably, you know, monitoring it. And then, of course, he got out there with his own thing. But when you saw that call sign, you knew that, you know, this is Black Hawk's move. Any number of priority people, to include, of course, the Marines with HMX that fly Marine One, but anything flying that sort of path is often got VIPs. Fortunately, there was, the Secretary of Defense was not among that, but we did lose three experienced Army crew, and so our thoughts and prayers for those families. But it does not appear that there was any sort of military VIP on this helicopter.
Yeah. You know, on the other story you were going to cover today with the Guantanamo Bay thing, Griff, have you been to Guantanamo?
I have been to Gitmo. It's been many years.
I had no idea it was that big. The president said they could house 30,000 people there. I mean, that's amazing to me. I thought it was several hundred, to be honest.
No, and that's only because, you know, over the many years we had the dwindling population of Taliban fighters, really, that we housed there. But when you go, I mean, it has its own airport. It has a gigantic base there, and the number of things that the U.S. government can and has done over the years is more than just a small prison area. And the reason why I really want to drill into this story in the coming days, and I'd love if they'd send me down there, is that, you know, when you're thinking about how to approach this, if you're Tom Homan, you're thinking, now here's the challenges, guys. We know as soon as we take over, we're going to go get murderers, rapists, child molesters, the worst of the worst, but many of them will be from countries that don't take their citizens back. That includes Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, China, Iran, Syria, Lebanon, you name it. And where could we put them if we can't send them back? Well, Gitmo. It's almost like a no-brainer because, you know, if we're going to have to fight and negotiate, as we saw President Trump do with Colombia, which worked pretty well, worked out pretty well in his favor when they said they're not taking them, and then all of a sudden they were taking them. But, you know, the negotiations to get people to take their criminals back to places like Venezuela, Iran, China is going to be much more difficult. And so it may serve as a really smart option because, obviously, to have such dangerous criminals kept out of the country is much better than keeping them here at home.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I was shocked. I'll look forward to that. I hope they send you down there, Griff. And, you know, covering this afternoon, I know it won't be easy. And we wish you the best, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, guys, and have a good weekend.
Yep, we'll talk to you soon. Griff Jenkins there live in D.C. And, yeah, I mean, we've covered these before. I covered the fatal accident at Lambert back in the 90s when the one plane came in and clipped the other one, the smaller plane on the tarmac out there, and actually did some reporting then for the CBS Morning Show from St. Louis when they were covering that. And they're not easy things to cover. And then particularly given the fact that it's a recovery effort, still lots of unanswered questions. Hopefully we'll get answers to some of those later today. All right, quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
I don't want to take food away from anybody. If you like a cheeseburger, a McDonald's cheeseburger, a Diet Coke, which my boss loves, and you should be able to get them. If you want to eat Hostess Twinkies, you should be able to do that. But you should know what the impacts are on your family and on your health.
Yeah, I that's fine. I mean, if you wrap it in an orange warning label, I'm still probably going to eat it. I'm glad to know that RFK is out there looking out for me. I'm more concerned with his ability to impact what's in it than whether or not I'm going to eat it or not. Like, stopping me from eating it is probably not a good idea. But I would like him to have some impact on influencing these companies on putting better ingredients in there, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he could do that.
Yeah, I think he has a good shot of doing that. You know, the companies having to be transparent about what chemicals they put in there, what dyes have put
GMOs.
In there, because, yeah, GMOs, thank you. Because, you know, yeah, we're celebrating the fact that, you know, one of the dyes is very harmful, has been removed, or they're being forced to remove it by 2027. But let's be real, they're just going to substitute that with another dye. And there's several other dyes that are already in a lot of the foods that in particular are targeted to kids, like, you know, Fruit Loops and things like that. These vibrantly colored foods, that's not natural. They're putting a dye in that that's very harmful to your health. And so I think these companies need to be transparent and held accountable, and there need to be regulations in place that say that's not going in our food. Why is it not allowed in Europe? Why is it not allowed in all these other countries? But for some reason, we think it's okay here in the United States.
I have questions. I do. And I think RFK is the man to answer them. Like, first of all, when I'm enjoying a McRib, which they didn't keep around nearly long enough.
Shocking.
I'm worried about the fact that the McRib is shaped like a rib, but there aren't any bones in it. How do they do that? Like, I'm not worried about it, but I'd love to have an answer to that.
Do you think the lab that made it just forgot to put the bones in?
I don't know. I got a McRib the last time with the pickles on there and the sauce dripping off my chin, and I got one when they came out because I just wanted to have one again because I hadn't had one in a long time.
I've never had one, and I don't care to ever have one.
Then I thought about afterwards the consistency of it as I was chewing it. How did they get it to look just like a rib, but there's no bones in it? Like, I know you can take the bones out, but I don't think that's what they're doing.
It's the same way they're able to make
like a McChicken nugget,
a plant-based burger look like a burger.
No, it's not plant-based.
No, I'm saying it's the same way they're able to make a lot of these plant-based foods, like the Impossible Burger, look very similar to a juicy hamburger that actually came from a cow.
Yeah, that's
probably true. It's disgusting chemicals and other garbage that they probably put in there.
That is probably true. So here's a question for you. There are going to be more nomination hearings today. You heard RFK getting blasted yesterday by these Democrats, and you've got Patel and Gabbard up today. This is why CNN is failing. I want to play something for you from CNN's John Berman. He had our favorite Illinois Senator Dick Durbin on there, and his question was directly related to CNN's interest in all of this. Why are you not doing more to obstruct Trump's nominees? Honestly.
There are reports this morning that there were calls from U.S. governors to the minority leader now in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, saying, look, you've got to work, Democrats, to slow down some of these nominations, especially with some of the actions that the White House is trying to take. There was the now rescinded memo freezing federal money. But as a Democrat, do you think you're doing enough in these hearings to raise questions and maybe sway the potential outcomes of these nominations?
See, that's what CNN's worried about. Democrats, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you doing more? Kristi Noem had an answer for him yesterday, Kim. Kristi Noem said, well, I don't care whether or not the president rescinded the order or not on NGOs. I'm blocking them anyway. Listen to this.
Today, we are announcing that we have stopped all grant funding that's being abused by NGOs to facilitate illegal immigration into this country. So it's amazing to me the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been spent by the federal government that has been sent to NGOs to facilitate this invasion of our country. So I've taken action to stop that those funds, to reevaluate them, and to make sure that we're actually using the taxpayer dollars in a way that strengthens this country, that keeps us safe.
I told you so. Mm-hmm. I told you. I'm like, yesterday when they announced they were rescinding that order, they just rescinded the nationwide order. And now each one of these individual secretaries will institute that order within their own departments.
It makes me mad thinking about all the stuff Biden could have done
yes.
in 4 years, and Trump's been able to do a lot of it in 2 weeks. Biden let it get to the point that it is right now.
Less than 2 weeks. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. Kim, welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm sorry for the circumstances. We really are. Hearts go out to you. All right, we're going to get to Brian Kilmeade. He'll be covering the plane crash, of course. Any new details, if there's an NTSB hearing, I'm sure we'll carry it live for you right here on 97.1 FM Talk between Annie and Mark's show a little later today. And we'll see you back Friday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.